Thank you, everyone. Each time I give a talk, I have started to tell people that nothing makes me happier than to see people doing zazen. So, because it's true. So here we are doing zazen. I mean, no. Giving a time I talk now, but based on zazen, kind of, at least for me. Okay. I just want to say that we have heard in this class, we actually heard from nine, including Neil now. I'm the last one, the tenth and last one person to give a Dharma talk. And I am always. Each talk, I learned something new. I mean, I may not really remember it exact words, but something often enough. So thank you to the nine people who gave talks. The chapter that I'm going to talk about right now is the one called Nirvana, the Waterfall. I mean, I love this. I love Sunryu Suzuki is just great, but this Nirvana. The waterfall reminds me of my former teacher Leila Smith Burkholz, because she had us discuss read and discuss it quite re that chapter quite regularly. So, I'm just okay. It's an honor for me. And actually, this brings me to the first things that Shunryu talks about in this chapter is about respect. And, when he talks about actually respect, he writes about the Half Dipper Bridge, which is near a Eiji Monastery in Japan. And he quotes Dogen saying, when we are one with the water, we intuitively respect the water. And here's Neil talking about waves and water, and here we are more about water. So many people talk about water and respect the water. And everything else. Norman also spoke about it back in March 2024. He gave a talk on that same chapter. And he pointed out that the earth is very worthy of respect. And that sometimes we forget this. Actually, he mentioned Thich Nhat Hanh's book, Awing the Earth, which is also about this respect. So, for me, respect is also the people whose life made the earth what it is today, and also our Zen ancestors. I have immense respect for the ancestors, like Shunryu and Leila. So I feel like no matter the size of the body of water, it calls for respect. A drop of water can be respected as much as a waterfall. And I want to t tell you about one way in which I personally, Dogen's word, feel the beauty of the water is when I drink water. I know it's very small, but when I drink water every morning, it's just each time it brings home to me how much I owe to just water, because depending on the time that I have available and the weather, I actually drink 5 to 8 large cups of water in the first 3 hours of the day. Okay, bathroom, here you are. often that's before zazen, after zazen, so it's really together. And I find myself sometimes marveling at just the water that is available to me. It pours so easily out of the faucet. I can warm it up in my electric kettle in like just a few minutes. And I think of all the people in the world who do not necessarily have that availability of water. Even in US, I mean, there are detention camps. I've read stories about water being difficult to access. And then, of course, sometimes it doesn't rain that much. Anyway, I'm just so grateful to water. And it is a fascinating element. It's used so often in the Dharma. I mean, it goes from condensation to ice to steam. There is the Dogen's moonlight reflecting in a dewdrop. I did say that during one of my Shuso talk, but I'm going to say it again because I really like this. I don't know, probably some of you know Charlotte Jochebeck, and in her book, I forget the title of her book. She writes about how we're like ice cubes that need to melt, get some warmth in us, a little bit, open up, you know? I love that. And in fact, James Flaherty, he's here, James, he did talk about water a little bit too, even though his chapter was a study yourself, water came up. And he was saying how Suzuki compares studying ourselves to studying water. Under laboratory conditions, water can be studied, he says, and consequently, it can be known what elements make it up. Okay, so now I'm going to take a look at this waterfall image. I find waterfalls is also one of those marvels of na nature, those incredible, sometimes natural phenomena. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been struck by some, and it made me question things. It gave me mind waves. Ooh. For me, the immensity of, say, a waterfall or something, it brings to my mind the fragility of my own being. Every single drop of that water lives in a different manner, different environment, many obstacles in the water. There are rocks in a waterfall, too. And then they probably are different size from the very beginning, and they are all moving at the same time, like a one big body. But then each drop is unique, and each goes through similar phases, from birth and youth to old age and death. When Shunryu saw the waterfall, many feelings arose in him, and his Zen practice came. Zen kind of pervades everything, and I think it's beautiful. The more practice there is, how the more we can see in The everyday, or not the everyday, the waterfall. I mean, I don't see it that often. To see beyond the waterfall itself to the subject of how necessary it is for us, Shinryu says, to realize our original nature. Now, back to Norman Stock in March 2024, he said, "Isn't it a wonderful image to think of our life as falling off a cliff into space, a drop of water leaping over and then flying down? You can hear the exciting sound of the other drops falling down, made up of all the other drops falling down with you." And then he added, "I'm thinking about this drop falling in the air. It sounds exhilarating to me. Our life." So maybe those of us with a practice are really especially open to feel much when confronted with natural phenomena, small or great, small too. I'm humbled by Shunryu's ability to express the Dharma in all instances, like we heard in those talks. And I never want to forget that it is a lot of practice that allows him to do so. It's interesting to me how much a person's many years of practice show between the lines in their explication of the Dharma. Now, back to water, it can also be quite dangerous. Many people have encountered death, when exposed to water, maybe in a ship. Or like while drowning. I grew up by the water. I grew up by the Atlantic in France on the West Coast. And my hometown is a harbor for fishermen. Also, there is still commercial activity, and now there is a serious booming pleasure boat. But anyway, death that happened at sea were actually a large part of my childhood. The entrance to the harbor is nearby rocks that at low tide can be treacherous. Each time I go visit my native home, I make time to go meditate in a tiny chapel that is exclusively dedicated to death of fishermen. In fact, I used to go there a little bit when I was a child, when I needed to be alone. Now, in the chapel, it's packed with remembrance objects and paintings of ships and statues of statues of Mary and to be anyway it, and of course there are the candles like to light. It's a beautiful little church, little chapel. It's not even a church, it's so tiny. So death is also evoked in Nirvana, the waterfall. Sometimes, when I think that with each minute that I'm talking, many deaths have happened in this world, there's no word for it for me. So I may not always realize that whatever, they are wherever the person is in another geographical faraway distance, they do send their lives And death sends energy vibes into the universe at large. And the world I live in is completely enmeshed with these vibes. I am relatively spiritually wealthy because of all those who have built, for example, the infrastructure on which I now depend. I mean, road, houses, okay. And then there is the food. Gratitude. Okay. Maybe the water from Yosemite Waterfall does not end up immediately in my faucet, but it's not that separated from the water I drink, since the water from a waterfall may eventually become part of a larger body of water that is used for drinking water. So each drop can be in the waterfall can be metaphorically seen as a human life. Some drops hit a rock on their way, and some may rejoin early a puddle that formed in the rocks. Their lives as water drops, early becoming one with great stillness. The drops have no control over such things. The oneness of the body of water is made of individual drops. Shunryu writes in the chapter, when the drops are separated, that's when they have some feelings. Because they have feelings, that's when they have some difficulty. Falling without any control whatsoever. But that is what makes the waterfall wonderful. And then Norman said about that, the separation might be suffering. What a privilege it is to live. That's what he said, how our task is to live. What a privilege to have this assignment. Be alive. Fall down from this great river. Okay, and my next chapter is to say that it's not just water drops that separate into a smaller path when encountering an obstacle. When a natural disaster happens to all of us, we are branching in a different way. I was thinking, for example, that if there is a fire, there was a fire happening around where I live. I too would move away from it along with many other people and, kind of the mass here in this area. I feel like when observed at a distance, human beings are often a large body becoming a smaller one. Each one of us doing our best to live, each of us going through more or less and not always similar phases such as birth, childhood, young adult, and sometimes all the way to old age and death. When I was a child, I was fascinated by ants. I would sometimes sit down wherever I found a colony, colony, and observe it for a long time. What are they doing? Where are they going? All these questions. And of course, I tried once to put a stick in their way, and it was fascinating to observe how they went around it, just like the water drops sometimes. Okay, for me, observing all of this during meditation can be quite sobering. To use a word that Shunryu often uses in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, composure. Composure in the face of all of this is really the work of a lifetime. Well, it is for me. Norman said, I hope we can all have that feeling of returning to oneness when we die. And I view this as the final composure. When Shunryu writes at the end of the chapter that by your practice of Zazen, you cultivate this feeling, I am encouraged and reminded again of how important this practice is. May we make time for it repeatedly. So I'm going to end my talk chanting the verse of the Han, which probably most of you know, but just in case somebody doesn't know, the Han is a wooden block that is struck to call people to meditation, either in a monastery or a large sangha. Actually, we have one when we do everyday Zen has. We do hit the Han during Sesshin. So here it goes. Great is the matter of birth and death. Life is fleeting, gone, gone. Awake, awake each one. Don't waste this life. That's my talk for today. As for questions, well, shall I that important? Have you ever experienced a natural phenomena that had you question yourself? And do you remember what you paid attention to in that moment? Or another one I could say is, do you feel, well, we humans come from water. Our brains and hearts are three quarters water. Do you feel your affinity with water? Have you felt closeness with any particular body of moving water? Okay, you know, waterfall. Okay.